Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
People earn a better, not everyone, but a lot of people, data-wise, across the American public, are in a better financial system than situation than they were a year ago.
What?
I don't think so.
And then come to find out, what else is Fauci and NIH doing? They're doing cruel experiments on puppies.
What the hell happened to my dogs? I want answers.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I'm a train guy.
No, I'm an Imagine Travel and Amtrak Joey. And I said, no, Ange, I don't. He said, that retirement dinner, we calculated.
Choo-choo!
You've traveled over 2 million miles. 1,515,000 miles. 2 million, I think it was 180, but 2,200,000 miles. 2,100,000 miles on Amtrak.
It's a true story.
All I did was tell the truth.
Of course you did. But there's the truth and the truth.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Got a lot to get to this hour, including about Thanksgiving prices, the fact that Melrose Public Schools are canceling Halloween's. The green crowd is now coming after pumpkins, believe it or not. That's pretty amazing, but I'll get to that. Pumpkins, the war against pumpkins, believe it or not. And the first thing I wanted to mention, though, is the Zip Connolly situation. Zip Connolly is the corrupt FBI agent turned mob hitman for Whitey Bulger. He was doing a life sentence, basically, for second degree murder down here in Florida. He was in a private prison on the shores of Lake Okeechobee, and he was released in February because he was allegedly on death's doorstep. And he went to live with Franny Joyce, the tin whistle player in Billy Bulger, Whitey Bulger's brother's band, when he was the Senate president. Franny Joyce now lives in Pompano Beach, and he let Zip live with him. When he was released, compassionate medical release, because he was on death's doorstep. He had multiple melanomas and diabetes. So, of course, as always happens in these cases, Zip has not died. It's been, 8 months. And according to the hearing, he was up before the Florida Commission on Offender Review. And according to the hearing, the assistant prosecutor from Miami-Dade, where he was tried for the gangland hit he was involved in, of a Boston businessman named John Callahan. The prosecutor said, I believe under Florida law, we can only release him if he's got less than a year to live. And so my ears perked up when I heard that, and I thought, yeah, this is, we don't want another Sal DeMacy case like the former speaker of the Massachusetts House from the North End. He was dying, you know. He was doing a long bit for a extortion. And he was released from Butner Federal Pen in a medical facility in North Carolina on death's doorstep. And now it's 5 years later, and he's still alive. And he's a registered lobbyist at the State House, the scene of the crime where he committed his felonies. So I was wondering if the same thing would happen with John Connolly. So now it turns out John Connolly has been released and is going home to Massachusetts. I thought he had to stay in Florida, but he's going home to Massachusetts. So we checked today to see if he's still under the year-long. He has to die within a year. And apparently it's true. I've got the statement of conditions here for him. I agree. I understand and agree that in the event there is an improvement in my medical condition to the extent that I am no longer, quote, permanently incapacitated, unquote, or, quote, terminally ill, unquote, I will, if directed to do so, report to a conditional medical release revocation hearing. So what are the odds that when he's alive, a year after he was released, in February of 2021 that he will report for a medical release revocation hearing. I think the odds are non-existent, if I had to guess. 844-500-4242. 917. This is almost as bad as the weatherman from the Brinks robbery being released. Multiple weathermen from multiple bank robberies and armored car robberies have been released. God, it's ridiculous. Meanwhile, AOC is very concerned about this latest fake news from Rolling Stone magazine claiming the White House staffers and GOP members of Congress were promising pardons. It's all just more nonsense from FBI informants. That's one theory. The other theory is Rolling Stone just made it up again, like the story about the rapes at the Virginia frat house or the tousle-haired youth, the Boston Marathon bombing that they all got a crush over in the offices, or the ivermectin fake news story about the hospitals in Oklahoma being overrun. They have a tradition of just running totally fake news in the Rolling Stone. But anyway, AOC got very excited about this. And she tweeted out, "Any member of Congress who helped plot a terrorist attack on our nation's capital must be expelled. This was a terror attack, 138 injured, almost 10 dead." That's what she said, almost 10 dead. Almost 10 dead? There was one person who was killed. That person was a Trump supporter who was shot in the head unarmed by a Capitol police officer who was then cleared. A Capitol police officer who was so incompetent he had earlier left his weapon in a men's room. Almost 10 dead. That was the only, there were three other people that died, but they all died of natural causes. Almost 10 dead. It's everyone who has anything to do or had anything to do with Boston University, it must be very proud of AOC, right? 844-500-4242. Congressman walks off House floor yesterday wearing Let's Go Brandon mask. My favorite congressman of the day is Congressman Jeff Duncan, Republican of South Carolina. Let's go, Brandon. 844-500-4242. Last week it was Bill Posey who ended a floor speech. He's a Republican also, but he's from Florida, not South Carolina. He ended his floor speech with the phrase, "Let's go, Brandon." Let's go, Brandon. 844-500-4242. And I love this story. It's from the Washington Post. Not a serious story, but it's pretty funny. There's a candidate for the Arlington County commissioners. They call it the Arlington County Board. And she's one of these gadfly candidates. She runs as an independent, finances her own campaigns. She's running for office claiming she's 52. Would you care to guess how old she really is, Taylor?
She claimed to be 52.
Yes.
I'm going to say she's 63.
They checked the record. She was actually born in March of 1949. That makes her 72.
Oh, wow.
72. She asked to confirm whether she was, in fact, 72. Clement told the Washington Post, "I take my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination." Upon further questioning, Clement, that's her name, Audrey Clement, she said she had achieved the age of 52. She had achieved it. That was quite an achievement. She said in an interview that she intended to write, "I refused to disclose in the part of the survey that asked for her age, but the post form required a number for that field." So she put it, that's when she put in 52. And then when she was called on it later, she said, "I believe that your questioning of me right now is a violation of my right to privacy." My right to privacy. In a subsequent phone call, boy, they hassled her a lot. I wish they would hassle the superintendent of the Loudoun County Schools the way they hassle this poor woman, this poor old lady. In a subsequent phone call, Clement said, quote, a lot of candidates who reach a certain age are perceived to be over the hill and therefore unqualified for the office for which they are running.
Who could she be speaking about?
You know, is it more about her age that made her unqualified, or the fact that she lied about her age? And she didn't just trim off 2 or 3 years. She trimmed off 20 years. That's a lot.
Oh, somebody out there must be giving age a bad name.
I wonder who that might be.
Some certain near octogenarian.
Or it could be an octogenarian, like, for instance, Nancy Pelosi or her leadership team of Steny Hoyer and James Clyburn. They're all on the far side of the big 8-0. Joe Biden is not going to be even 79 until, well, a few days from now. Are we going to have a big we should have a big birthday party for Joe when he turns 79. All right, 844-500. 4242. As we age, the fatigue and failing endurance we feel, just ask this woman, Audrey Clement, can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. Introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that gives you the energy you need, and they are good for you. I'm getting one right now for myself. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, and candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. You take two of these every day when you leave for work or whatever in the morning. Just stick them in your pocket, and whenever you feel a need for a boost in energy, just eat one down. They're wrapped like candy in tin foil, and they taste great too, and they give you a boost. They're good for your blood pressure, for your circulation, and just for your general heart health. They're really good for you. I have one before breakfast in the morning. I'm going to have one right now as I, they say eat one on air on this sheet that I'm reading from, but I don't do that. But I'll have one as soon as I get off the air. You can see me eating it if you're on social media or Rumble with us. I choose Super Beats Heart Chew for heart-healthy energy, and you should too. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers, get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. superbeatsradio.com/Howie. You feel jealous now? I'm going to pop it right in, and I'm going to have a burst of energy. You'll hear it when I come back out of this break. I'm Howie Carr.
Holding the Hackorama accountable is a full-time job.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Howie Carr will be back after this short break. Got hate mail?
You bloated idiot! You stupid fat head, you!
Send it to Grace at HowieCarshow.com.
Take a load off this fall with HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers recipes and pre-portioned ingredients to your door so you can actually enjoy dinner instead of stressing about meal prep and grocery shopping. Get up to 14 free meals plus free shipping with code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. That's code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who has treated dogs worse, Dr. Fauci, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, or Michael Vick?
I'm going to say Fauci.
78% say Fauci, 11% say Obama, 9% for Michael Vick, and only 2% for Mitt Romney's treatment of Seamus.
All right. Lisa from Hopkinton says, I have achieved the age of 61. Eat your heart out, Nancy Pelosi, et al. She says she's the owner of Snappy Dogs and customer of Pienta Dosi Bakery for hot dog rolls. Then there must be good hot dog rolls. 781, Biden is not old. He's in the early stages of dementia. There are people a lot older than him who are still highly effective. Yeah, definitely. I know. If she's 201 says if she's 52, then Joe is 58. Another 508. She just identified as 46. She's just self-identifying. Can't you do that? Yeah, I know. 844-500-4242. Let's see. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark. Hello? Nope, gone. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie.
Yes.
Is this Howie?
Yes, it is.
Hey, first-time caller, Howie.
Thank you.
I live in Maine, and I listen to your show. I get a kick out of you. Don't always agree with you, but I get a kick out of you, and you speak your mind. I've got 90 some odd employees, let's put it that way, up here in Maine.
Yeah.
Cover two different counties. We take good care of our employees. And our governing mandate for the vaccine, along with Joe Biden, 100 employees or more, I have a piece of property that I want to build another location on, and I'm not doing it until I find out what's going on.
I don't blame you, Steve. I don't blame you a bit.
Howie, it's crazy world I live in. I've been in business 30 years. I've always tried to treat my employees. I don't need the government to tell me how to treat people. And I think a lot of people need to hear that from a businessman who's employed thousands of people over 30 years.
Now, what would happen, what would happen if you spun off one of your, 50 of your employees into another entity? Could you then expand and, or have you talked to anybody about that, a lawyer or an accountant? Or are you
done that. I mean, I set my company up. I have three companies. I didn't have formal education. I had a military education.
Yeah.
So there's a difference there. But I learned how to work hard, Howie. And I worked hard. I had a minimum wage job when I got out of the military. And I had two kids that I had to raise. And I worked hard and I believed in God.
So what did they tell you? Steve, what did they tell you, though? Can you spin it off and keep it under 100 so you don't have to start hassling your employees to get a vaccination?
I'll tell you why. I have three companies. They're all very, they've done well. And I cannot do it because I own all of them. And it doesn't matter if you spin off and say, okay, I'm going to start a corporation. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. They say, "Yeah, but you own 100% of this corporation."
You got a wife or kids? Can't you spin it off to a wife and a kid? And then
I don't want to do that, Howie. That's not realistic. I've got 90 some odd employees that work really, really hard for me. I have one family member that works with me. I'm 62 years old, Howie. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just say.
Is it a male or a female member of the family?
My daughter's husband works for me.
Okay. Can I give you some advice? If you give it to the daughter, then it becomes a minority-owned business, Steve. Do you understand? I mean, do you get it? I mean, do you know what that means?
No,
that means you got a leg up.
You're not hearing me, man. It's not about money, okay?
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from, and I hear you. I've worked hard all my life to build this business, and I have one daughter to leave it to. But it's not right that I have to justify doing that.
I agree. But I mean, isn't that the lesson of this year? That nothing is right in this country. Nothing is fair. Nothing is on the level. So you just have to play ball like they're playing ball.
And I am. I have been. I'm in a highly regulated business.
Yeah. All right. I would just, I, you know, I I was just saying you might save on the vaccines if you spin it off and you get the bonus of being a minority-owned business with a woman. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Here's a text from 781. I will be attending services for my father tomorrow. He was one of your greatest fans, and we will have a picture of you displayed amongst the rest of our family members. He used to sit there with an AM radio on a daily basis and listen to you. Thanks for being there for him. His name was Brian from Malden. Well, thank you, Brian from Malden, for listening to me all those years and being a great fan, and my condolences to your family. And it makes me sad that he's gone, but it makes me happy that I could give him some pleasure and enjoyment over the years. So again, thanks for sending me that message, and I'm happy to be there in spirit and in a photograph tomorrow at the services. 844-500-4242. Mort Saul, the comic from the 60s and 70s, won't be down for breakfast. He was kind of a junior grade Lenny Bruce, I would say, you know, but he tried to be biting and satirical, but I preferred Lenny Bruce myself. Lenny Bruce didn't last very long. He had a monkey on his back, as they used to say. You know, we talk about all these disasters that are going on with the Biden administration. As Representative Debbie Lesko from from Arizona said, it's one crisis after another. So here's another crisis that we haven't talked much about lately, and that's Afghanistan. And there was a guy, Colin Call. He's the undersecretary for policy for the Defense Department, and here he's talking about at a Senate hearing today about what the ISIS affiliate in Afghanistan could be up to within a year. Cut 17.
The current intelligence community's assessment is that ISIS-K could potentially develop a capability within 6 to 12 months, and that Al-Qaeda could potentially develop that capability within 1 to 2 years. But it's precisely that threat that we need to remain vigilant and disrupt.
Let's go, Brandon. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon, for another complete avoidable disaster. Cut 18. Same guy. Colin Call.
How do we determine whether they have the intention or the will to attack once they have the capability to do so?
Well, I think we are actually fairly certain that they have the intention to do so. And I think the committee had the opportunity to hear from the intelligence community in a classified setting not too long ago, and we can follow up in the closed session. But we have considerable evidence that they have the intent. The question at the moment is the capability.
Question is the capability. They obviously want to do it. Meanwhile, criminal charges have not been ruled out in New Mexico in the shooting on the Alec Baldwin film set. Criminal charges have not been ruled out in a fatal accidental shooting by actor Alec Baldwin on the set of a Western film, the local district attorney said today. Santa Fe County District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwees said in an interview with the New York Times that it was incorrect to refer to the firearm used in the incident as a prop gun, as has been done in media reports. Yeah, it was not a prop gun. It was a real gun, and the crew was screwing around with it in between scenes, in between shoots. They were shooting in between shoots. 844-500-4242.
We also have other courtroom news today, Howie, in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial.
Yes.
Kyle Rittenhouse's prosecutor just screwed up and admitted the mob member who was shot started the fight.
He did.
And we have sound.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
There's another point that I want to make, Your Honor, that is akin to what you had said when you ruled against us on the CBS video and on the fight at the lake. You believed that there was no factual commonality between those prior events and what the defendant did on the night of August 25th. What I'm hearing the defense say is, for example, Mr. Rosenbaum started fires that night. Well, that has nothing to do with the allegation that he chased after Mr. Rittenhouse and tried to physically attack him.
Well, you're saying it's an allegation, though, right, that he didn't really
Arsonist
do it.
Or alleged arson has nothing to do with an alleged physical assault. There is an argument that Mr. Rosenbaum was shouting racial slurs. That has nothing to do with a physical assault. There is an allegation that he's telling other people at Ultimate Gas Station to shoot him, which clearly is different than what was going on with Mr. Rittenhouse. He clearly didn't want Mr. Rittenhouse to shoot him, so I don't see that there's any commonality there. So this is bad character evidence, Your Honor. This is an attempt to tell the jury Mr. Rosenbaum's a bad guy and deserved to die. That's really what it is. He was an arsonist. He was a rioter. He was starting fights.
He was a pederast as well.
Problems.
He just said he was starting fights.
So the jury hasn't been seated, though, yet, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so I guess it's, that doesn't matter all that much. But the Rosenbaum had also been convicted of raping five little boys on top of everything else. I mean, both of the guys he killed were horrible criminals and Antifa types, and I believe they were ex-cons. But, Rosenbaum was the worst of the two of them. That's what does commonality mean, by the way? I mean, he kept using that word over and over again, commonality. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Howie, a couple things. I was just going to talk about the state troopers. They're risking their lives, and it's just interesting that the government is willing to let them go, or wants them to be vaccinated for their safety and our safety, and if they don't, they're going to let them go, endangering all of us by letting those cops go. So there's a lot of stupidity, the same type of stupidity that AOC was mentioning there about those people being killed. And one other thing, Howie, the fact that they're saying it's cruel to tell people to go to work, let me remind people, for those of you who are concerned about the inclusion, St. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. And it's pretty direct. And it's not healthy for people not to be working.
Exactly. That's the thing. You're right, David. We're not doing them any favors by giving them a handout.
It's medicating them, Howie. It's like the government's medicating people with drugs and with financing mediocrity. It's just one thing after another. And Howie, one other thing, Alec Baldwin was not a nice guy to toast marshmallows with. He was always on President Trump's butt, and he's the one, for whatever reason, pointed that gun at that director. Why was he pointing the gun at her and shooting her? She wasn't
I don't know.
She wasn't dressed. He's just a nut job. So this, it's like a collapse of society. There's no accountability, AOC. It's just a total disgusting mess.
It is. He hit all the topics we've been talking about for the last hour or so. But, he's talking about the people not working. You know, when Betsy McCoy is citing that study that says 1.5 million people are never going to get off the couch again if they pay them to have kids and they don't have to do anything. They don't even have to pretend to be looking for a job. You know who did that study? That wasn't done by, the MAGA Foundation. That was done by the University of Chicago. You know who went to the University of Chicago? Bernie Sanders. That's his alma mater. They're the ones who said that. 844-500-4242.
Other news, Howie.
Yes.
Glenn Greenwald just tweeted, Judge Amy Berman Jackson releases a 1/6 defendant from pretrial prison where has been held since March after he writes a letter promising that he has changed his political views and now hates Trump. The judge directs his father to keep Fox and MSNBC off in the house.
She's the worst, that judge. She's the one who presided over the Roger Stone trial. Remember that? And she allowed this woman to be seated, not just on the jury, but as the foreman of the jury. And her social media was full of stuff about how much she hated Donald Trump. And I believe she was a congressional candidate in Tennessee or Arkansas, someplace like that. Amy Jackson Berman, or Berman Jackson, whatever the hell her name is, she's a total partisan Obama Democrat. She's a hack's hack. The worst. The absolute worst. 844-500-4242. Melrose schools ditching Halloween, spooking parents across the city. Superintendent Julie Kuchenberger confirmed the rumors that have been bubbling like witch's brew. The district will no longer be celebrating Halloween. They're going to focus towards fall celebrations. Fall celebrations.
Harvest Day.
This is in line with our mission, vision, values, and district priorities. An online petition to restore Halloween to the Melrose schools had 1,350 signatures as of last night. Kuchenberger told Patch, the local website, in a phone call that Halloween isn't being canceled, but it will no longer be what fall school celebrations revolve around. We're not in the process of excluding kids. There are some people who don't celebrate Halloween. That'll mean some kids don't come at all that day. Come on! Who's she kidding? Melrose as a whole isn't ditching the holiday. Some of the most popular events of the year, trick-or-treating at local businesses, the rise of the pumpkin people, the YMCA's Spooky Sprint 5K, are hotly anticipated. But the district this month, this is the Melrose Public Schools, this month celebrated its first Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. Now it's embarking on a quest to drop the Red Raider. I'm surprised Red Raider made it to 2021, as a matter of fact. Kuchenberg says the decision centers around inclusion. However, some parents are asking, why now? Why in the midst of the pandemic can't students who have been forced to wear masks for over a year wear the ones they want? That's a damn good question. A damn good question. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. I'm Howie Carr.
You might want to keep a close eye on your fried clams.
Yum, 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 yum.
Howie Carr returns after this.
Yum, yum, yum.
In a world that's constantly changing.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
He's a rock on talk radio. I guess a talking rock. Well, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Howie Carr is back.
There's a website called trees.com. You can imagine what it's up to. The headline in the story I'm about to read you is, should we cancel Halloween to save the planet? It's about the environmental threat of pumpkins. Environmentalists are taking a closer look at how this time-honored tradition of pumpkins at Halloween may contribute to our increasingly hot planet. Is it time to cancel Halloween to save the planet? The majority of the pumpkins grown in the U.S., and their billions are grown every year, are used, 87% will be carved as jack-o'-lanterns or used for other decorative purposes. Growing pumpkins requires especially large quantities of water, land, and nutrients. It takes a toll on the environment. As water becomes an increasingly unstable resource as a result of climate change, it raises questions about where and how it should be used, particularly for crops that are largely ornamental. One of the problems with growing such a high volume of this greedy gourd, that's what they call a pumpkin, a greedy gourd, is that so many of them are destined to end up in landfills. Not only does it waste water, Taylor, but it has another problem. The trouble with throwing away pumpkins is that as they decompose, they emit methane. This greenhouse gas is stronger than carbon dioxide and has a far more significant impact on global warming.
Many areas, though, they have programs through the local zoos where you can donate your old jack-o'-lanterns and the animals play with them and eat them.
Yeah. I think this is, even by the standards of the ecological hysteria, this is rather absurd.
So to not grow and procure pumpkins is to starve the animals at your local zoo.
Yeah, and some of them are suffering. I just read a story from COVID-19, some lions at a zoo. So you know, when they're trying to recover from the panic, they should be allowed to have a delicious formerly jack-o'-lantern, now a rotten pumpkin, to aid in their recovery. Steve,
I think lions prefer a more red substance for their meals, but okay.
Well, orange. If there's no red, they'll have some orange then. Steve,
well, COVID-19 deprives you of your taste buds anyway, right?
Right, exactly. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Just a quick aside. Will somebody please tell the liberal idiots that 88% of greenhouse gases is water vapor? What do they want to do? Get rid of water vapor?
I don't know. Are they a little bit megalomaniacal at this point when they're running headlines, should we cancel Halloween to save the planet? I mean, that's a serious headline. That's not the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, they're being supercilious. But anyway, you know what the real problem with liberalism is? It's the demoralization of youth. They get everybody thinking that they're a victim. You can't do anything. You can't succeed. The system's rigged. They take away the hopes, dreams, aspirations, and the potential earning capacity of people, and they demoralize them. And it's called a tendency towards interpersonal victimhood.
Steve, do you think people, the little kids in Massachusetts today, are a little depressed to learn that they're in 99% of the cases they're going to have to continue wearing masks in public schools until January 15th, and probably into the indefinite future beyond that?
I think some people are getting fed up with the whole mask thing, because don't forget, they promised everybody that when vaccines were going to come, that everything was going to go back to normal. Well, they lied. It's not going back to normal. And I think some people are just getting fed up.
I'll leave you with one thought, Steve. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. How's that? How are those 2 weeks coming along?
Yeah, we're doing just great. A day is 1,000 years with the Lord, right?
Thank you. Let's go out with the Morning Joe and Mika cut about Thanksgiving. We didn't get a chance to read the New York Times story. We'll get to that tomorrow. But here they are freaking out about Thanksgiving being the most expensive meal in the history of the holiday. Cut 8.
This and also Thanksgiving is now less than a month away. You ready? And it's shaping up to be the most expensive meal in the history of the holiday.
What?
Consumer group.
What?
No, you wouldn't believe it. Consumer groups say almost every ingredient in a traditional American Thanksgiving, from the disposable aluminum roasting pan to the pumpkin pie, will cost more.
Yeah, but as the New York Times says, there is no single culprit. There is no single culprit. Remember that. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.